With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome back to Kid of Street Noise. I hope you had an amazing week as a Blackburn Rovers fan. I'm sure nothing has happened that could possibly have upset you. I think everyone's on a positive vibe and we're ready to crack on, ready for our playoff push, starting after the FA Cup game against Wrexham on Monday. Lewis, how are you? How are you feeling?
Yeah, all right. Obviously, I've been like Rovers related is a bit grim. But
and that's being positive.
Yeah, it's just sort of the way things are at the minute, isn't it? It's just how it is. We've had some more frustrating news today, which I'm sure we'll touch on slightly later on. It's just after last season, it is just like really discouraging and deflating, I suppose. Came so close to playoffs last season, really good cut run as well, and now it's just completely the opposite this season, isn't it? To be honest.
Yeah, it's. I mean, things were bad off the pitch as well last season. I think there was a bit of. It was almost like a rebellion with the players and JDT as manager. Like, we were almost like fighting against all the things going off on the pitch and trying to bring that relationship back with the fans, but I feel like the players have given up slightly now, and I'm not criticising the players in any way because they have put in 110% for the last 18 months with a small squad, with not much depth, not much experience to fall back on during hard times. I think it's just got too much, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were losing the fans already, but once the players stop showing that character and that fight, I think it soon spirals into toxicity. I think there were times earlier on in this season or towards the end of last season when we fell out of the playoffs where it could have got bad, but people knew they were putting everything into it. It only takes one or two games where it doesn't look like that's the case. I'm not accusing them of not putting everything into it, but it only takes one or two games where it doesn't look like that's happening and the fans soon turn and it soon becomes even more horrible than it already is. We're going to talk about the Wrexham game on Monday. We're going to discuss some questions that was asked on a different podcast. We'll also talk about the fans forum. I think that's the biggest part of the podcast. That's the one I've made the most notes on. And then there's like a few bits about the club. And then obviously the news today surrounding Adam Wharton and the court date appeal thingamabobby. So we'll start with Wrexham. Obviously, play them half seven. I was just about to say half seven kickoff, and then I remembered the Fulham picture that I sent you today. So,
match day activation.
Yeah, so I'm gonna put it up on the screen when I edit this. There was a big screen on in Fulham Concourse, and it said, "Please take your seats. Match day activation will begin shortly." And it just sounded too American, and it's just horrible. That's just not football.
On Concourse, we may having a beer or something like, better get up there and match the activation starting.
What time did you get down to Ewood? Or about 20 minutes before match the activation, mate. I don't like to get in there early.
It's just like, it's not something you'd ever see.
But someone's created that graphic, and I just think, I can just imagine like a young intern, like, what do I write here? Like, what's it called at the start of football? Like, match day activation, I think. Yeah, it must be something like that. They must not have another name for it.
I'm guessing what they were like referring to was like the flags and like the display, whatever they had. I didn't watch the game last night, but I saw the pictures and I saw they had like flags in the seats and everything. So they must have had like some kind of display, but surely just like take your seats for the pre-match display or something. Just keep it simple.
Yeah. Match day activation. So half 7 kickoff Monday night. Obviously quite a big draw. They're like the most popular team. A good draw, really. Like, you wanted to draw a League Two side if you wanted to try and progress into the later rounds. And they're probably the most popular one that could have galvanised like a full crowd, especially in the way end. I think they sold out their allocation. They got a bit extra today. I think there'll be like 7,500 coming down with them on Monday. What did you think of the Wrexham fans' reaction? Because we saw the video from the Turf pub just after the draw. What did you think of that?
It's a bit strange, wasn't it? I mean, when they saw us come out, they were all kind of dreading it. And they're like, oh, no. And then only a couple of seconds later, when they found out it was them that we were going to be facing, they all seemed to be like, quite excited, weren't they? They weren't like ecstatic or anything, but they seemed quite up for it. I've done it myself watching the football during the past where like, a team's come out at home and I've been like, no, I don't want to go. You know, someone like Norwich comes out at home and you're like,
it can't be a bad draw for them though. I mean, one and a half hours down the road, and
it's a different situation for them than it is for us, though, isn't it? Because it's not often they get the opportunity to come to a ground the size of Ewood. You know, let's be honest.
Yeah, I think that's what where they were like, no, like a bit unsure of the draw. That's the thing that confused me, because like, surely they can't in recent years have played at many bigger grounds or like a ground with so much history. And like, I know some of them said like, oh, we want a Prem team away, but there's some Prem teams smaller than us. You could have got, I don't even know who's in the rest of the draw. I'm trying to not focus on football at the minute, the way things are going, but you could have got Luton away, Burnley away, Bournemouth away, Brentford away. They're all like worse draws to get than Blackburn Rovers, I think, especially like the smaller grounds. Is it really that exciting? And probably they'd have less. Yeah, definitely not get a bigger allocation, but they'll have less chance of winning. I feel like we will have enough on Monday to get through, but they'll also be coming here thinking if they can get the crowd behind them, if they can keep us quiet for the first 20 minutes, get a bit of backing behind them and get something to hold on to, they will. They'll fancy themselves. Like, the longer the game goes on, they'll fancy themselves to get something. I've wrote down in my notes, it's a chance for a big crowd, but looking at the ticket map, we don't seem to have sold many. There's plenty of reasons for that. The being on TV is one of them. Being moved to Monday night is another one. If it had been on a Saturday, I'm pretty sure more people would have made the journey over. It's difficult to come over for a night game, especially if you live further away than normal. Are you coming back for the game? I know you're working on Sunday, but...
No, I'm not. I think I would have, because I was down to work round 3, and I didn't end up doing any of those games. So I was like penciled in for round 4 as well, and I was like, well, if I'm not going to be working round 4 and Rovers are at home on the Saturday, then I'll come up for it. But we'd be on the Monday night. I don't think I'm not going to bother.
You've got a better FA Cup tie on a Sunday anyway, haven't you?
I'm watching the West Brom Wolves game for ITV. Sunday morning kickoff. Yeah. I'm pleased with this. We've got a very early start. But no, it should be good because I haven't done too much football since I started at 80. So, forward to it.
Yeah, it should be a good game. That's one that I'm looking forward to watching. I always like big games like on FA Cup weekend. I try and watch as much as I can over the weekend. I'm not really sure. Yeah. I mean, there's some strange TV picks in the draw, but there are some games that I will be looking forward to watching as well. So, are you going? I always ask this question in the cup rounds. Are you going strong team, try and win? Are you going rotated team, give people a rest? What's your opinion?
I think JDT will try and go as strong as possible. You know, we know how much like the cup means to him. I think he'll also kind of factor in recent results in the league and try and put even more importance on it. So I think I say go as strong as possible, but that's like almost been hindered by injuries, and we lost Carter and Pickering at the weekend, didn't we? And that's both of those. I mean, Carter's definitely going to be long term, but Pickering, you know, there's a bit of uncertainty there. But the way it kind of went down, it looks more long term. I doubt we'll see both of them again this season, to be honest. So as strong as possible, even when you take into account the injuries. That's what I think. That's the approach I think he'll take.
Yeah, I mean, I say like, would you rotate the squad a bit? But with the depth we've got and the injuries we've got, there's not really much choice, have you? I mean, we'll talk about the interest later on in some of our players. Adam Wharton's obviously had a bid rejected today from Crystal Palace. Sam Gallagher's had another bid rejected from Ipswich. I don't think we'll see any of them feature, because if you are holding out for a bigger bid in the hopes of getting some investment into the club, you won't be risking him in an FA Cup game against a League Two side. You'd probably play Tronstad and Garrett or another central midfielder. I only named Tronstad and Garrett at the minute. We could do with like another central midfielder that's played 200 games in the Championship, but for some reason he's on a loan at Ipswich. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the game. I'm going. Me and Rebecca are sitting in the top tier of the Jack Walker in the posh seats. Just so, obviously, we both watch Welcome to Wrexham together. She's not a fan of Wrexham, but she does look out for us. Yeah. Blake, we're over here. come and have a Sodexo hot chocolate wheels. But yeah, we'll be looking forward to it anyway. So, the next thing I want to get on to, I was watching a Rovers Chat podcast the other week, and there was one of the questions answered to the three of them on there, and it was, where will we be in 5 years' time? Now, when I wrote the notes for this, it was like 10 days ago when I saw this question. My answer's probably changed since today. Not changed drastically in terms of direction, but I think the downward trajectory would have lasted longer before today's news, if that makes sense. Where do you think we'll be in 5 years' time?
I don't think, obviously, like none of us can tell, none of us got a crystal ball. I don't think it's ever been more uncertain, though, to be honest. In terms of like the spectrum and how varied it could be. I mean, on the one hand, it does look very bleak, but 5 years is a long time in football and things can change. Right, I mean, I put down in my notes But the best example of that is probably Coventry. I mean, they've endured like a torrid period in the history in recent years, relegation to League Two, problems with their ownership, playing in Birmingham, but now to like come out the other side of that, got to play our final last season, and now they're pushing for the playoffs again, and there just seems to be a really good like feel good factor there, which there hasn't been for ages really. So that's the kind of other route that you're looking at for Rovers. I mean, but yeah, that's kind of best case scenario in my eyes, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to have to take a monumental shift in upstairs staff, I would say, to have any chance of that happen. And that's happened with Coventry. Obviously, the one thing they've got in common with us is our CEO at the minute. He was obviously there whilst they were going through the troubles and financial mismanagement that led them to playing in Northampton. And obviously, I don't think things will ever get back that bad at Ewood, but since he's come to Blackburn, they seem to have hit a mine and gone the opposite way. They've like completely, I know they had a couple of seasons in League One, and once they got promoted to the Championship, they were loitering around the bottom half, but they're doing it the right way. They're finding players on a cheap. We spoke wax lyrical about Victor Gyökeres last year. Got a bit of interest in the summer, managed to get 15 million for him, reinvested it. Probably not that savvy this summer. Sims and, oh, his name escapes me. The guy who scored against Coventry. Scored the winner up their place. I want to say Hodger, but I'm sure that's wrong. They spent money on them too, and they haven't obviously returned the goals that Gyökeres scored last year. But eventually they will get it right. And they are still challenging towards the top end of the league. We just seem to be in a downward trajectory. I thought things would have picked up last season with JDT coming in, and it has improved the players' value, has improved the overall value of the squad. But there's only so much you can do, and if like I was speaking to someone today about the Rovers situation. And the amount of potential value that we've lost in recent years is absolutely mad. Like, obviously, Lenihan going on a free, Niambi, Diaz, Dak. I think the last person we sold was Armstrong for, like, decent money. And it just constantly, like, raises, like, conspiracy theories of, are they trying to make a loss? Like, if we'd have sold Brereton, Diaz and Dak, we could have got enough money to make a profit one season, and then you're like,
I mean, both of those at the peak valuation were 15 million, the same as Armstrong. Only getting 2.5 million for Kaminsky. And I know that was affected by the change in the financial situation in the summer. But I mean, that's pennies for Kaminsky. That's an absolute steal of balloon.
Yeah. Mental. And then even getting 2 million for Ashley Phillips. I know he wanted to go and his agent made it difficult, but I don't know. We said that if we sold him, we want like a loan back for this season. It weren't available at the time in the summer. Now it is. And I don't understand how, because Tottenham have let Eric Dyer go, and obviously Phillips gone out to Plymouth. So they're really short on centre backs. So if they wanted to keep enough centre backs in the summer, why do they want to get rid of two now? It just doesn't make sense. So we're just not asking for him back because of the wages situation. Obviously, the business we've done so far in January has been it's crazy when you think about like loaning Travis out. And I know we like need to save on wages and stuff, but why do we need to save on wages? Our wage budget isn't massive compared to the rest of the Championship. We're something like fourth or fifth bottom.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's something with the structure that's been put in place. It's been cut down over a number of years, so to think of it being cut further is just, it's going to catch up with you.
Yeah. Well, we saw the Football Index released the the wages, didn't they, from the the losses from the financial years and the championship, and they were saying that everyone loses money. And Rovers are doing quite well. I think we lost £42 million in 2014, which was ridiculous. That's a lot of money. But then up until 2017, we got it down to single figures, losing £2 million, losing £1 million, and then we were relegated. Now, obviously, cutting that wage budget is the reason that we've eventually gone down. But if you just stayed up that season, the problem is it's inevitable that if you keep cutting, eventually you will go down. We're never going to get to a situation where we can cut the wage budget and improve. But there has to be hope. There has to be, we'll just cut the wage budget for next three, get through the next 3 years, get some investment, and then we'll try again. At the minute, it's just cut, cut, cut. And it's not just on field stuff. It's the off the field stuff as well. So we're just we're literally tearing hope out of every single Rovers fan. And that's what football's all about. You want to hope that you're going to win on Saturday. You want to hope that the season's going to turn around and you'll get in the playoffs. You want to hope that you might make it to Wembley for a semi-final, but that hope's just being ripped out of us. On a more positive note, I've lost my notes now. Where are we up to? So we'll go on to the fans forum now. Yeah, 5 years' time. We're screwed. I don't think we'll make it the 5 years to... after the news today, but we'll get on to that. Fans forum. So, there was a fans forum on the 8th of January where people gather around and ask questions of the senior management and see what the future of the club is all about, basically. In the first point, administration is mentioned. I think the first question was rightly aimed at the Indian court situation about sanctioning funds for the club. And Steve Waggett said, if a club cannot legally pay its bills, the first thing it will do is enter into administration. Now, at least he's being honest and coming out and saying it, but at the time he said that there wasn't much reason to suggest that this funding wasn't going to go through next or this month. Now, we all know today that it's been delayed till March, whether that means they can do it, but I don't know what it means, but it's worrying. If someone's mentioned administration, unless it gets accepted, and it doesn't get accepted on that date, that is surely worrying for the club. There were also some quotes Steve Waggett said, other clubs are based in larger communities with much bigger crowds. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of city clubs in the Championship that don't have a massive population build on us. I'd say cities like Coventry and Leicester, probably double our population, but cities like Hull don't think they're massive compared to us. And the crowds are getting around 20,000, but they're doing that with good marketing. And I believe if we had a similar marketing structure to what they do, we'd get the same crowds. We'd get the community more involved. The problem is that the community is priced out of being part of that crowd that he wants. So he's saying, he's almost spinning it around and saying, well, the community's not big enough, the crowds aren't big enough. That is because of you. What do you want us to do? We can't overpopulate just so we can fill Ewood.
I read that and I looked at the populations of our, the populations of our nearest rivals. So, in the football league, anyway, obviously, in the Premier League now, that's kind of a different thing to compare to high standard football that you're paying for. Blackburn has got a bigger, slightly bigger population than Preston. They're charging less for season tickets and selling more season tickets. Blackburn also has a bigger population than the town of Bolton. The district is a much bigger population than Blackburn's, but the town itself, Blackburn has a bigger population. Bolton are charging less for season tickets and selling more. So out of those three, so it's like two of our closest rivals, two of our closest competitors in terms of the fan base. Both have smaller populations, and yet we're getting smaller attendances. So
There's like a lack of pointing the finger at themselves, I think, at the club. There just seems to be like, oh no, it's not our fault. It's not our fault. But, no, this is you.
Yeah.
And like, obviously today's new, like people, a lot of people have like stayed on, well, they're still funding us, they're still doing this, they're still doing that. And like, if we have bigger crowds, we'll be able to compete because of financial fair play and all stuff like that. Today's news is just like, clubs don't go into administration because of financial fair play. Financial fair play is so clubs don't do that. It's just literally a lack of funding. Like, they just will not do it.
Do you think a lot of people are just being blindly stubborn by sticking to that narrative? It's almost like they can't be bothered to like think anything else. Like, just propose a different kind of idea of what's going on to themselves. They just won't do it. They'll just stick with that. Bankers are funding the club. They're doing kind of all they can. Do you think a lot of people are just like sticking to that and not even considering?
I don't know what it is. Happening. I mean, before all the news came out today, someone was saying about the low crowds, like the rest of the season, like we need to get behind the team, make sure we stay up. I said, well, why don't they do £100 for the last 9 games? I know it sounds cheap, but the reason it sounds cheap is because the season tickets are so overpriced. Nine games, £100 over a full season would be a £250 season ticket. So at the minute, it sounds really cheap, but if your season ticket were a normal price, like Bolton's, like Preston's, nine games for £100 wouldn't be cheap. It'd just be the normal price of normal tickets.
Yeah.
So. And then someone said, well, that's unfair on me because I stumped up for my season ticket at the start of the season. Well, yeah, but you were ripped off. You can't just keep having this bitter, well, I paid it, so everyone else should. I paid it. Well, yeah, but no one else can afford to pay it. I feel like screaming at people, like, if you can afford to pay your season ticket cash up front in the cost of living crisis at the minute, you are lucky. You're one payday away from being at the same position as someone else. And I don't want to like get into politics and all that lot, but people are struggling. And then Steve Waggett said, when someone mentioned, why don't we do a direct debit system, a bit like Hull, that do £20 a month for the full year. They don't just do it through the season, they do it for the full year. You just pay £20 a month, you get your tickets for every home game. Steve Waggett said, we can't do direct debit because fans might cancel if we start doing poorly. But they're not going to notice. They'll notice £430 in June when they have to buy school uniforms and they have to pay for the holidays when they go, if they can afford to go on holiday in the summer. They'll notice £430 up front. They might not notice as much as £20 a month, but then, like the month coming up in February, if you're paying £20 a month direct debit and you're getting 4 home games, or like you say your Wrexham game becomes cheaper because you're paying your direct debit, it's a tenner. I'm paying £30 for 4 home games. All of a sudden, bloody hell, I'm enjoying going Rovers because it doesn't feel like value for money at the minute. Does that make sense?
The thing is with that as well is that. What's the difference really between that and, say, Rovers finishing where we are now, 17th, 18th this season, and people, when it comes to renewal time, saying 17th, 18th in the Championship, and I'm paying £429? It's just not justifiable. If we finish 17th, 18th, how many people will renew at that price? Not as many.
No.
Anyway.
But I feel like a lot of people are already thinking about that because, let's be honest, the match day experience isn't worth what we're paying. Ewood's grubby. It's not easy to get to. I mean, I think I'd look to like public transport to get to Ewood for me, because like me and Rebecca would go down on the bus on Monday night, but get the bus into town, then the bus to Ewood. Like, I can see Ewood from my house on a clear day. Why do I have to get the bus? Why aren't football special buses running from every area, like surrounding areas? That's why a lot of fans have gone to I don't say like they're switching over to support Bolton, but if there's fans in this area that don't necessarily have like a almost like a connection to a club, if they want to go watch football on a weekend, they'd rather go and watch Bolton because it's cheaper. It's like a family day out. We don't have anything like that at Ewood.
I know they're enjoying some kind of success.
Yeah, no, yeah, they're doing well, but even last season when they're probably like on the outskirts of the playoffs last season, but even then they were still getting the 20,000 plus. Like the family stand tickets are sold out every week. We're still charging £430 for the Riverside, and it's £430 for the Jack Walker Upper Tier. That, I mean, they're two completely different experiences. One's got an indoor concourse. One's got a concourse at the end with two staff members on it. And if you go for a drink at half time, you're not getting back to fourth officials putting his board up for added time in second half. Like, it's so... Oh, no, my head's going to go. My head will actually go because I've just... And then, like, he has the cheek to say we can't do direct debit because fans might cancel if we start doing poorly. That's fine. If everyone signed up to do a direct debit and got a ticket in August, and, like, there were 22,000 on, the experience is better. So people, they go down to Ewood, it's full, atmosphere's better, everyone enjoys it. It doesn't matter if you drop out of the playoffs and go, like, bottom half of the table. There's an actual buzz to go into Ewood. At the minute, there isn't that buzz. You're walking down Sandy Lane, and you're worried if we're away from home, and you just forgot. There's no one there. Like, it used to be a time where if you drove down Sandy Lane past 2 o'clock on a match day, you were getting stuck. Like, there were no way out. Now, like, I drive past Ewood to go and park at top of Mill Hill. Like, you could never do that before.
No.
And I could just shout. Well,
it's like when it's like now when I go with dad, like mum will drop us off at McDonald's. But years ago, you would never get that far.
No.
Like, I mean, that in the Premier League days when I first started going, that McDonald's was a walk through.
Yeah,
like, every home game, you'd have people like walking through. So,
I mean, the direct debit comment was just ridiculous. I thought. He then went on to talk about the club making a little less on fan takeover day for the Watford game. I don't really know what game he's comparing it to, because you're comparing it to Leeds and Preston game. Obviously, you're going to take in less revenue because more away fans, more home fans are going to turn up for them games. People are going to drink more, like, because it is a local derby. People will be out for the day, whatever. We had an extra 6,000 home fans on. I don't understand how we've made a little less. I want to see the figures on how we've made less. I can understand like more stewarding, more policing and stuff, more staff, but I don't understand how we've made and how, like, when you say we've made a little less, are we talking £200,000? Are we talking £1,000? Are we talking nominal figures? Like, what are we talking about? Just saying, oh, we're not doing that again because we're in a little less money.
I think the big thing there is what you say in the, what is he comparing it to? Because, like, for me, a game like Watford at home should be compared to any other, like, sort of equivalent Saturday 3 o'clock home game. It shouldn't be compared to Preston or Leeds, because Preston or Leeds, they're, like, the ones that, let's be honest, they're the biggest home league games of the season.
This season, yeah.
You know,
but that's what the attendance figures, I compared it to the Swansea at home game. So that's why we got the 6,000 extra home fans, because I think they're like 11,500 on for the Swansea game. And then I think it was like 17,800 for the Watford game. And they both brought around 1,100, 1,200. So, like, I had to look back through and look which games you compare it to. You can't compare it to a Tuesday night. Again, can't compare it to Leeds and Preston. So, like, I want to see the table of comparison of what he is comparing it to. And if it is costing more, and, like, you can show that it's because of stewarding, because of policing, that's fine. But I'm not having you say, oh, we made less money. Everyone move on. No one asked me any questions. We made less money, simple as that.
Yeah.
Other things in the fans forum, say standing. They got the results back from the vote for that. 91% of Blackman fans are in favour of promoting, including safe standing at Ewood. 55% are willing to consider crowdfunding. why? Do people know how much it costs to install Safe Standing? Like, I'm just going off Celtic Park's figures. So they did the, like, the curve in the corner around 3,000 seats, and it was £300,000 to take out the old seats and put in the new ones. So we're going to do a, like you said, the blocks NO1 and NO5, which I think is about 2,000 seats. So I'd say it's going to be £200,000. Where are Rovers fans going to get £200,000 from to crowdfund this for Blackburn End?
Mm.
And should they have to?
You'd hope not. You'd hope that if that's something us as supporters want, then the club should accommodate that and pay for it. But so when I saw it on the forum, the questionnaire, I was like, when I first read it, I was like, that's cheeky, that.
Yeah, I voted no.
Do you not think the same?
Yeah, I voted no. Crowdfunded it. No, I'm not willing to. Crowdfunding is stuff that Darwin National League teams do. That it is not a high level championship club thing to do. It's just not. Like, if you're willing to pay players £15,000 a week plus, you cannot ask the fans to pay for something. You can't. It's just I just take a deep breath. It's crazy. You're asking people that are paying the fourth most expensive season ticket in the league to then go deeper into the pockets to provide funding for a thing that most of the top teams in the Premier League have done or are doing. Most of the teams in the Championship have done or do it. Birmingham did it for the whole lower tier of their ground. They didn't get crowdfunding for it. They did it. And the recent results in Championship, like, position-wise, the last few years haven't been great. The wage budget is still higher than ours, and they can fund that and do that. I mean, it took a while and it was a mess for a long time, but we're only doing two sections of the Blackburn End. I'm sure you can move them people, but even if you do it in the summer, like, people are willing to wait. But to ask fans to crowdfund, no, not having that at all. Realistically, how many people are going to put their hands in the pockets? If you said put a tenner in, you're going to need 20,000 people to put a tenner in. We don't have that. I don't know. Have you got any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think it's unrealistic. And yeah, like you say, it's just not really fair, and it's not proper practice for a club at our level, really. But if 55% consider or are considering it, then I don't know if they want to put something towards it, then. But to me, it just comes across as not the proper thing for a club like ours to do. That's.
I mean, I looked at the Fox and Hounds wall, like, they were going to pick the Blackman Rose badge they've got on the back garden wall at the minute.
Yeah.
And I inquired about getting a mural done. So it's going to be Jack Walker and Alan Shearer with a Premier League trophy. Obviously, it's going to be the 30-year anniversary next year. I thought it'd be a fantastic thing to crowdfund for again. And I wasn't really... I think the price that we got quoted for it, which, if anyone's interested, is £4,100 to paint the whole wall, and that includes, like, material hire, because they'll need scaffolding and a machine to, like, go in and lift them up and stuff, which I thought was quite a fair price, to be honest. And I thought that was easily crowdfundable, but if people got behind it, we could crowdfund that over the summer or over the start of the season to have it done ready for next year's celebrations.
Yeah.
That is like a crowdfundable amount, and it's not really on the club's property, so I can understand them not wanting to get involved. But to ask fans to crowdfund stadium investment, it's just bonkers, absolutely bonkers. So yeah, I don't think it'll be happening anytime soon anyway, because I can't see us raising that amount of money. I can't see him getting the right people in to do it with the senior members of staff we've got to try and organise it. The Liverpool Legends event was also mentioned at the fans forum. Someone brought it up that it shouldn't really be happening at Ewood Park. It's a weird thing to have to host. Steve Waggett mentioned that he didn't even know about it, which weird. Why would the CEO not know about something like that occurring at Ewood Park? And then he wants to put something in place so it doesn't happen again. So does that mean he is going to put something in place so it doesn't happen again? Or is it just, I want to do it, but I'm not
something he's saying just to appease fans?
Yeah.
I think the fact that he didn't know is, if that's true, that's like astounding.
Think it's a lie? Idea of, like,
not sure, but if it is the idea of a CEO of a business not being aware of an event taking place at that business's main premises is just
you can't believe it, can you?
You can't put a word on it. It begs the question, if he didn't know about it or approve it, who did give it the green light? You know, was it like just like snuck through the back door because whoever approved it for Waggett might have had a problem with it because of how it looks? Who did? If he didn't have anything to do with it, then who did?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I put a lot of pressure on Yasir Sufi this week on Twitter. He was more than proud to show off our Equality and Diversity Award given to us by the EFL, which is great, obviously a fantastic thing and something we should be promoting as a club. And I simply asked him, as the inclusion manager at such a proud-to-be-diverse club, what his opinion of Peter Beardsley, who was banned from football for racially abusing young black players, being a guest speaker at Ewood Park next month. His first reply was, it's not hosted by the club. It's someone else that's doing it, nothing to do with us. I then sent a screenshot back of the event with Ewood Park listed as the location. Regardless of who's booked it, he's still a guest speaker at Ewood Park. Just because he's not booked it, the club's not hosting it, doesn't mean anyone can
do it.
Yeah. Obviously, there was a spat on social media. Not going to say his name. Don't want to engage with him. Not asked. Not interested in what he has to say. But if we were to host an event and he was a guest speaker, this person that I don't want to mention, would there be an uproar then? Would there be situations that he wouldn't want to get involved in, or would he have something to say about that? And that's where the hypocrisy and the irony annoys people. I tweeted him again asking, I wasn't being threatening, I wasn't being I was trying to be as polite as possible and just asking him what his opinion is. I don't want an explanation. I don't want him to come out and say, actually I'm going to cancel it tonight. I want him to tell me his honest opinion, and he couldn't do that. And when I tweeted him again yesterday morning, and when I tried to read the reply or to read if he's seen it or not, I noticed his Twitter account had been deleted. So rather than tell me what his opinion of Peter Beardsley being a guest speaker at Ewood is, he chose to just ignore me and delete Twitter, which is, are they the kind of people you want to be a senior manager at Blackburn Rovers Football Club? Like, just a bit of pressure, a few questions, no threatening questions, just a question. Didn't expect him to do anything, just wanted an honest opinion on it, and he'd rather delete Twitter and just not answer it. And these are the senior leaders that we have at our club at the minute. It's just a sad state of affairs.
Mm-hmm.
What else is happening? Launched a new website. There's technical issues on the ticketing side of it. It won't let me order tickets online. It says that I don't have an account. I don't, unless I've been banned. Don't know. They spent ages trying to sort out the New Look retail website. They said a New Look retail website was coming. It was going to be great. You'd be able to buy all the new training kit on there. And then they launched the old website and said they postponed the launch of the New Look retail website due to technical issues. So I don't really trust them to do anything at the minute. It's just, where do you start? Or do you start, or do you just give up? We're just like shouting into fog. Like,
it just feels like they're under the impression that nothing really is that important, and nothing really matters. Like deadlines don't, nothing really needs to be done in any sort of time frame. that's how it feels.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, the fans will wait, it'll be fine. Doesn't really matter, does it?
We're done eventually.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And like for a club desperate for revenue, desperate for money, surely they put a lot more focus into getting a website where you can buy tickets and buy like retail stuff. But what do I know? Just a sad fan. I've got some notes on the UK football government's like court thing. Did you watch that? Have you watched it?
No, I haven't.
No. So it was with Richard Masters, who's the chairman of the Premier League, and then Rick Parry, who's the chairman of the EFL. And they were just talking about the things that we already know. The gaps widening between the Premier and the Championship. A regulator is needed. They're arguing about money, like percentages of who's going where and what's going where. They want to protect the relegated clubs from the Premier League without giving them parachute payments, because obviously the parachute payments are hyperinflated the team's squad, and it's got to the point now where teams can get relegated and keep the best players and therefore go straight back up, and it's just getting a bit samey. Is that the best word for it? Samey. It's good. I mean, it's good. It's like a 2-hour watch on YouTube. You can see some like really good bits where he starts to sweat, where he's put under a bit of pressure. A regulator is needed in English football, especially. It's getting, we bang on about how good the football pyramid is in this country, but eventually we will lose. If we keep treating it like this, we will lose it. Like there will be a separate Division 1, 2 and 3 and then a Premier League on its own, and it'll just be, I mean, you've seen it this season with the top three promoted teams rock bottom of the Prem, no chance of staying up really, and top three in the Championship apart from Ipswich, the three relegated teams. It's,
I mean, Everton are being threatened with a further 10 point deduction, another 10 points. Sheffield United being threatened as well with 10 points. If City are found to have cheated, where does it leave the game? If the most successful club in this country over the last 10 to 15 years has won nothing that they've won fairly or by the rule book, what then?
Well, I mean, at the minute, it's going to get to the point where there's no point the season taking place, because they'll just be like, oh, we're going to deduct you 10 points, deduct you like 20 points for Everton if the second one goes through, Forest, Sheffield United. But what is the point in them playing a season? Like, if you're just going to wait till they get to 35 points and say, you know what, actually, nah, you've been a bit dodgy, you 10 points off. And, like, it annoys me because, like, you see so much, trying to think of the word without, like, putting myself in court, dodginess going on. Like, obviously, the Newcastle situation where Miguel Almiron's been linked to the club that the Newcastle owners own in Saudi Arabia for a £30 million transfer. That's just money laundering, but through football. Like, surely would it not be beneficial to Everton's owners, if they're in financial fair play, to buy another club somewhere, put a lot of money in where there's no financial fair play, and then spend £200 million on one of, like, Dominic Calvert-Lewin?
Yeah.
And like they said, so they mentioned about one of the clubs getting away with financial fair play because it invested in the stadium, but they were charging Everton for the money they put into the stadium. And then, like, well, surely that's an unfair advantage because West Ham got a stadium for free. Man City got a stadium for free. Like, you're basically saying if you build your own stadium, then you can't compete in the Premier League anymore. Well, like, that money, like, you're investing in the area, you're investing in the actual club. Like, these stadiums, like, Goodison's been there for, like, 120 years. Like, you can't just stay there because financial fair play, we have to stay here, we can't build a new stadium. That's just... I don't know. What do I know? Go on, what are you going to say?
It's just a case of... The purpose of it is just... The Premier League probably want to keep Everton and Goodison.
Yeah.
Because it just limits them, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. You know, as much as... Like, Goodison is kind of, like, held in, like, a high regard because it's, like, one of, like, the oldest stadiums left. It's a traditional ground. It does limit that football club.
Yeah. Well, it's dated, isn't it? Like, let's be honest. Yeah. I think Tottenham have gone through the same situation where they've had to sell Harry Kane because they've built this massive stadium that Sky Sports and the Premier League wax lyrical about how good this amazing stadium is, and it's like one-tiered stand is like the best atmosphere they've ever heard, but they've had to reduce the expenditure on the pitch because of that stadium. And I just think, well, that's not fair. Like, if you want us to have the best leagues in the world, and like I think that's why previous Euro bids have failed, because the stadium's not been like great compared to like other countries. Like, the infrastructure is not great, but then clubs invest in the infrastructure and you punish them for it. So where does that leave the future of English football? Like, we've got a lot. How many clubs in the Championship now have got new stadiums? I mean, they probably have, but like, if you're further down the pyramid, like League One, League Two, if they all went, like, if they all got the funding up in the Premier League, they would all build new stadiums if they could do. There's not many that would stay where they are because most of the stadiums in that situation are very dated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something I want to talk about, which is like related to the governance of football and how it's regulated. And it would probably lead us on to today's news, actually, with the money from the Venkis being delayed by the issues at court, is that the EFL, when they do the fit and proper owners test, prospective owners have to show evidence, they have to prove that they can provide clear and unrestricted funding for the prospective club. Now, if prospective owners have to do that, why do current owners, why are they not held to the same expectation? Because right now, Venky's funding for Rovers is not unrestricted. It's dependent on the court's, say, the court's approval.
Yeah.
So why is that not being governed, regulated?
Yeah, like if Venky's were to buy a club now, they wouldn't pass the fit and proper test because their funding to the club is restricted. But why are they allowed to remain in charge whilst their funding is restricted? Like, if the EFL could take over and manage it until they have a situation where it's now unrestricted and then they can like start funding the club again, I don't know how it'd work. But
right now, Venkis cannot freely fund Rovers. It's fact.
Yeah.
They're dependent on approval from courts in India. So surely, to me, the EFL, that should be a scenario that just triggers like some form of intervention straight away.
Yeah. And if it, you texted me today saying, would you take administration? And yeah, I would. If it leads to a point deduction, if it leads to relegation, I'm fine with it, but this could not carry on. Because it's dragging the heart and soul out of the club. Like, people that even the most loyal supporters, not just to them but to the club, are being they're just tearing the community apart, and people are going to lose jobs, and they just don't care. Let's be honest. They say that, and then they said like Waggett says, oh, they keep investing in the club, they're happy to keep putting money into it. But
it's the bare minimum.
Yeah, it is.
Investing to pay bills, it's like, you're just existing as a business, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the concern with the news today is that whilst that funding gets delayed, they're probably going to sell Adam Wharton for 20, 25 million, whatever, to cover that in the meantime. So the money that you're getting for your generational talent that you've produced is just paying bills.
Yeah. If you're selling a £25 million player, that should put you on a playoff push for the next 3 to 4 seasons, where for us,
yeah,
it's going to keep the lights on for the next 8 weeks. That's it. Nothing else. Right. And I think it can't be a coincidence that the day after, or like the day of the court being delayed, a deal's been agreed with Crewe for O'Riordan. I think it has been, if this gets approved, we'll buy him. If not, we'll have to do a payment plan sort of thing. And when they found out that they can't just stump the cash up, Crewe have said, yeah, we'll have to accept this or whatever. And then Adam Wharton to be flat. Let's be honest, it doesn't come out of thin air. Like, the day after this happens, that Crystal Palace want to put a bid in, he's obviously being offered to someone. That we're being forced to sell following the court delays. He doesn't want to, well, I don't think he wants to move.
No.
I saw a Man United fan on Twitter, like, oh, I've been speaking to some Blackman fan mates, and they've been saying that the last couple of games he's looked like he's been playing for a move. How? I mean, if you're saying that he's lazy, he always plays like that. He walks around the pitch, but he's just that good. He don't need to run.
Yeah.
So,
you watch that this game, obviously his goal, but there's just other moments. Like, there's one or two moments in every Rovers game where his head's too quick for our team.
Yeah.
So some of the passes, and people say, I play like that. It's a bad pass. Why has he played that there? But like, he's just expecting, that's just his football brain. He's just expecting things to happen that just aren't possible at this level. But
there was one in the last minute, where he was like to the left hand side of the box, and he's reversed it and whipped it into JRC running into the box, and JRC's touch has gone above his head. So he's whipped it on the floor, and his first touch has gone above his head. Now, I know he's been out for weeks, JRC, so I can fault him for like a bit rustiness, match sharpness, and whatnot. Don't mind it at all. But for Adam Wharton to play a pass like that and not even see a shot on target from it, I'd be knocking out manager's door to leave as well. I just walk off. I get to the point where I'd be like, you know what? What am I doing here? Like, why?
Yeah.
Like, what more do you want from me? He's literally putting passes on a plate, and the quality in front of him is not good enough. One thing I do want to say about the transfer rumours that come today, is Crystal Palace the move for Adam Wharton?
Yeah, it's not.
When I watch Crystal Palace, do I think? When I watch Crystal Palace, do I think a young central midfielder is going to stand out in that team? I can understand him going to a ball playing team where they play through the lines, and he's going to get see a lot of the ball, shine, get 10, 15 assists, and he could potentially see it as a stepping stone to the next club.
What would be the ideal Premier League club for him now, do you think?
Blackburn Rovers. I mean, let's have a look. Who's in the Prem?
Football podcast. Who's in the Prem?
Yeah, who's in the Premier League nowadays? It's a Blackburn Rovers podcast, not a football podcast.
Newcastle?
I mean, they're a bit physical under Eddie Howe. They're not really a football playing team, are they? Potentially a Wolves under Gary O'Neill.
Wolves, yeah.
Like, very good football inside. Fulham. But, I mean, Crystal Palace, they're having a stinker of a season. They're 5 points above Luton. Luton have got a game in hand. Like, they're only a bad runaway from being in the same division next season. Is that the move for Adam Wharton? Like, who... I mean, for me, I don't understand why Man United aren't going in for him. Like a young English talent in midfield with I know they got that Manu at the minute, who's like a similar mould to him, but I'd say he's better than what they've got in there.
Yeah. I don't think there's... I mean, obviously I'm not, 100% knowledgeable in every single club in the Championship, but I don't think there's anyone as good at his age, in his position. I just don't think...
No, definitely not. People have said, like...
He exists, so...
Yeah, people have said, like, Dewsbury Hall, but they play a completely different position. I see Dewsbury Hall as a Premier League player because Leicester haven't dropped off since being relegated. They're still the Prem team that they were last season. I mean, I'm looking at the teams. Yeah, Bournemouth, Wolves, Fulham. It'd be that sort of, like, Crystal Palace is not the move for him at all. I just can't see it. And I don't want to say it's a sideways move because obviously they're a Premier League team. They've been a Premier League team for years, but I don't see how the way his career is going at the minute, like that trajectory upwards, I feel like that's just like a plateau for him. I don't think he gets the next move because of the way they play, or like they might change. I mean, they change managers every so often. Like the next manager coming in should not fancy him at all.
Mm. So, but, I mean, if he continues to develop at the same rate.
Yeah. The sky's the limit for him, let's be honest. What else have we got to say? Have we got any? I've got no more notes left. Been ranting on for an hour. So, have you got anything left to say?
I don't think so.
We're going to lie down in a dark room now.
Yes. About the Family Guy clip of Stewie.
Yeah.
It's been good to vent, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I watched the Rovers Chat podcast the other day. Them three lads are the same. They sound so deflated. I'm trying my best to not sound deflated in my tone of voice, but it's just not happening. I just can't.
You've got to be realistic. We can't come on and be like, we've won one game in 10. Get in.
A draw against Huddersfield, though. I mean, they were in the playoffs 4 years ago. Hopefully, we'll have better news the next time we're back. I doubt it. So, we will. We'll see you after the Monday. We'll be back after the Wrexham game. It depends what happens to the team now and then, let's be honest. It will be Wrexham and transfer deadline day on the Wednesday. So we'll have lots to speak about then. Well, I say we have lots to speak about. Outgoings more than incomings, I think. But yeah, we'll see you all then. Thanks, Lewis, again for ranting and cheering me up. And I'll see you all in a bit.
See you in a bit.
Podcast Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.